Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I want to talk to you today. I think this will really encourage you, edify you. I want to give a praise report today. I like to do these periodically, and I think it will be a blessing to you. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light." I love that scripture verse. God has called us out of the darkness into his glorious light. We love to proclaim Christ crucified. This audio is well overdue. We've had a lot of good praise things go on. We always do. We have a lot of very sad, evil, wicked, and negative things, but we also have good things that go on as well. And I know in my online ministry, when you read the reports and the Facebook pages and the articles and the testings, you see a lot of striving against false doctrines, false teachers. You see a lot of angry emails. You see refuting the error and the evil in the world and the culture. Yeah, I get that. It goes on every day. It has to. In order to have the truth, you got to defend it against the lies, okay? The two go together. And that is, by far, the evil, the strife, the hatred, the pushing against, the false doctrine. That is by far the majority that we see at work out in the world and in the churchianity and in the culture. But you know what? We want to level this out and season it with salt and talk about the good things that go on at the same time. And I want to talk about that today. God is on his throne. The enemy, Satan, is a loser. His time is short. And so let's talk about the goodness of God that we can revel in. Now, again, to be honest, don't kid yourself. It is a vast wasteland of truth out there. Holiness is lacking. Sound doctrine is lacking. Love is lacking. Fear of God is lacking in so-called churchianity and the world. But let us praise God when we do see those times where people are waking up. Even though the numbers are very small, we should still rejoice as they're precious, right? And remember, saints, when we're with God, we are the majority. Romans 8, 31 and 32. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Isn't that awesome? God before us. What a glorious thing. So today, I want to talk about some examples, praise report examples of people I have met lately. We've been in contact with, we've met, we've talked to, we've witnessed to. And these are just a few of the good things that have happened, and I want to report them to you. It's going to bless you as you're striving to live out your faith. Let's go there. I had a man contact me who had contacted me many years ago. He left, wasn't interested in talking or unity. And he came back and he said he realized how wicked the culture's become, how perverted the sexual agenda is coming after his children. His children are still in public school. And he was asking what he thought I should do from here as he began to seek after more truth. What a glorious thing. Thought he was gone for good. He was still out there watching, waiting. He began to start striving for the truth again. And we'll be there to help him if truth and holiness is his desire. How about this one? A lady from a country on the other side of the world. She is married. She has children. And she emailed us on getting counsel about her home, choices for her children, various choices. And she's striving to be a good witness and grow up to be a godly Titus 2 woman. And Sister Debbie's helping her, and I've been helping her a little bit, even though she has a believing husband. So it's a little bit of a tenuous situation, but he's allowing her to communicate with Sister Debbie so we're able to pour truth into her, maybe someday draw him in too. What a glorious thing. From the other side of the world, praise God, the remnant is out there. How about this one? I was out flying gospel signs with Sister Debbie in a town, busy intersection, and an Anabaptist man drove by, got a water bottle, came all the way back, offered me the water because it was a hot day. How nice of him. and he was telling me that he's about to make some big life decisions, big life-changing decisions, big moves. And I was able to speak the Lord's truth to him, warn him about the Anabaptists, warn him about their false gospel. I was able to call him out of some of the errors of their ways, and he admitted that they are keeping sin. And he tried to say, well, Jesus covers our sin, right? And I said, not if you don't repent of it. It's not covered under the blood. We went through a lot of things. And he said, you know, I'm going to look at your website. You've encouraged me. Thank you so much. He actually was moving back to a place in Wisconsin right where we were from. So we had that in common. So I was able to help him, encourage him, hope to hear from him. How about this one? This is glorious. A young man who saw us out street preaching like 6 months ago at a busy festival up in Wisconsin. Well, he started testing his Calvinist religious body, and he started seeing through their gospel, their worldliness, their hypocrisy. He contacted me, and I went through the gospel with him, and it was confirmed in his conscience and in the Word. He sees what God's Word says. Him and I agree on what God's Word says. Him and I have been daily studying, edifying, communicating, and he left that religious church body, glory to God, with a lot of slack, and his friends threw him to the curb, yeah, without giving an answer in God's Word, by the way. And now we're studying together. He's going deep in the Word. Young man, 30 years old, on his own. Guess what? Lord willing, I'm going to Wisconsin. I'm going to be street preaching there. He's coming with me to go out street preaching because he's biblical. He's following the Lord and all the commandments of God for the New Testament. He's stripping down his life, threw out his TV and his Roku, changed his wardrobe to be God-honoring. He's a glorious light, and him and I are going to draw close, and we're going to go street preaching together. Good Lord willing. How about this one? A young woman reached out to me and Sister Debbie, single woman, and we had talked to her some years back, and things didn't really go all that well, but now she's come back, and she's seeing the value of seeking biblical discipleship, daily one another in Hebrews 3:13, and she'd like to contact us and rejoice in what God's doing in her life. She's got obedience going on. She's being convicted about things. So we're rejoicing in that. We're seeing that maybe she's turned the corner and wants more than just a little bit of communication here and there, but to draw close to God's people in the Word. How about this one? A businessman from out in Nebraska contacted me, and him and I had been in intermittent communication. He got involved in some false theology on a topic, and I explained it to him clearly. And I said, you're in great error. You need to repent of that. I love you. You need to repent of that. Study it out. He went away to study it. And you know what? Praise God. One of the few men that has ever done this. He came back and he said, you know what? Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for staying on the Word. He said, I now see what God's Word says. I was in error. God's Word is true. I needed to repent of that. And he thanked me for standing steadfast and not just waffling to have a friend or fellowship with him. And he said, that is the sign of a true brother, a true man of God. All the glory to God, not to me. That we stand firm in the doctrines as Paul and Peter did and not waver under pressure or our own incompetency. So he came back, he repented of that. That was very awesome. He was humbled by the Word of God, and I rejoiced with him. Now, recently, we made the decision to go, obviously, we were going back on the gospel road full-time, but we are removing our homestead from us, and we're going to be set free completely. So I've been selling a lot of things from the homestead, and I asked God, I said, Lord, if this is your will, totally your will, send me people that need the Word of God and are receptive to it as I sell things and I meet people. You know something? Let me give you a praise report. Every person I've met that's come to the homestead to buy stuff has stood there and listened to me at the end of our transaction, share the gospel, give them a gospel card, give them my testimony, tell them what Christ's doing, warn them about God's wrath, tell them about glorious God's grace and love and care and what Christ has done. And you know what? A bunch of them, all of them, have texted me and thanked me. Let's talk about them. Just a few of them. One Baptist man came, and we talked for a long time after our transaction. And he at first was defending sin. Then when I asked him in God's Word, could he defend that with Scripture, he said, no, I can't really. And then he said, you're right. Churches are corrupt. They keep sin. And he said, I know that's the fault of modern churchianity. They overlook sin so they can keep the buildings filled. He said he was affected by God's truth, and he was going to go away and think about it and test himself at our website. What a glorious thing. I met three of his young boys that listened to the preaching. It was awesome. Three young boys, like 9, 8, 6, maybe something like that. Another man, a retired veteran, came to buy some things, and then he came back the second day. But the first day I witnessed to him, he was somewhat interested, and he thanked me. The second day he came back to buy some more things, and he started asking me Bible questions. So he's got our gospel card, he's got our website. All these people know that we're here to help them and help them walk in the truth and disciple them, whether we're here or long distance, we're there to do that. So that was glorious. Didn't think that man would come back and be asking me Bible questions. He's kind of one of those last guys you would think would be wondering what the Bible says, but he came and he asked me in his second visit. How about this one? An older man came to get just a couple items of mine, and right when we were done, we talked for like 30 minutes about the Lord's truth, and I preached the gospel to him, gave him my testimony, told him how God's moved in our hearts to go and leave this place of peace to go out in the world and preach Christ. And this man, I could tell, was intently listening to me. I could see it in his eyes. And I got another call, and I had another customer coming to buy some stuff, so I said, I got to go, but here's the gospel card. Let me know how I can help you. You know what? Glory to God, he texted me. You know what he said? He said, your words are weighing heavy in me. Wow. I can't ask for anything more than that. God will now take him from there. He knows how to reach me if he needs help. But God, the Holy Spirit, the Word will take it from there. We planted the seeds. We were faithful. We let our light shine. We let our good deeds be seen before men. We glorified God. That's what we're called to do, saints. All right? That's what we're called to do. Lastly, a person. Actually, no, not lastly. I have one more to tell you. How about this one? This one just happened today. I had a man show up to pick up a little tractor I had at the homestead that I had no need for, so I was selling it super cheap just to get rid of it. He showed up to get it, and this man was a rather tough-looking, rough-looking, bearded, tattooed man, like a biker. He had a biker shirt on or some other kind of paraphernalia shirt on, and he looked like a rather rough man. And we did our transaction, and him and I were from the same area of Illinois. We grew up in the same area. That was kind of interesting. And so we had a little bit of a rapport there. And then I preached the gospel to him, told him what we're doing, told him my testimony. You want to know something? Two times, this man had tears in his eyes. Grown man, almost 50, burly guy with tattoos. Tears coming to his eyes when he thought about what Christ had done, when I preached the gospel, when I told him we're lost without Christ, if I told him if we keep sin, we're going to be judged and not covered by the blood of Christ. Two times. He got in the car, and then he said, thank you. And again, we talked again, and again, the tears came. And I could see God's Spirit was convicting him. The truth of God's Word was reaching his heart. That's what we can ask for when we preach the biblical gospel. Not watered-down, itchy-eared churchianity, but the call for repentance and to follow this glorious Savior. Interestingly, this man told me that he was involved in a movie. And he told me, check out this movie, and he said it was kind of a Christian movie. I looked at it, didn't watch it, but just looked at the headlines of it, and it's not a Christian movie at all. It has some kind of theme to it. But what was really neat was that I met him, got to preach to him, got to share with him. His heart was clearly touched by the gospel. We text afterwards. I'm hoping to hear from him to encourage him in the faith. And lastly, now we'll get to the last one. A person, this one's awesome, a person from our far gone bypassed, when we were wicked, wicked sinners, they knew us when we worked at a company. They reached out to us on Facebook, started following our posts. We had no idea they were watching, and they said they've been enjoying our daily posts. Again, this is one of the last people you would think would be interested in the things of God, but you know what? You can't judge who's going to be interested, right? The religious people call the police on you, the bum in the gutter might be interested. The worldly person might be interested while the churchgoer hates the biblical gospel. Do you see what I'm saying, saints? I hope these stories and these praise reports are very, very encouraging to you, because they really are encouraging to us. They keep us going. They make us realize that our job is only to preach the gospel and plant seeds. God adds to the body, as it says in Acts 2. We don't add to the body. I'm not a soul winner. I can't win a soul. What I can do is work in unison with God in the blood covenant, preach Christ, live it out, let my light shine, be salt, and point them to Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing to be able to do. That's why we love to go and do it full time. One warning, please don't make the mistake we made in the very beginning if you're just new to the faith, thinking you got to find a whole bunch of people to unite with and sing with and gather with and got to be in a building or got to be with some group, or we feel like we're lacking Christ. You know, that's the wrong focus. If you have a bunch of biblical true believers, oh, it's glorious to all join together. I don't know where there's a big bunch of truly holy, biblical, set-apart believers. I see saints scattered all over the world. I see little pockets of them. I don't see any organized religious bodies and churchianity that are biblical and holy. So don't think you got to have that. March on as a biblical Noah in your generation and realize that God will add to his body as you do your ministry, or he may not, and you may have to be a Noah and stand alone in these dark days. It's a terrible, dark, wicked culture that we're in. The world is headed towards the last days. It's really too much to expect you're going to find a whole bunch of true holy saints in one place. Think about it. We're in the last days. Wickedness and evil is growing. That's why people see our light when we shine it. The darker it gets, the brighter the light of the gospel is when it's preached biblically. So we can't fool ourselves. Jesus said this in Luke 18, 7 and 8. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Yeah, Jesus said there's going to be few in Matthew 7. Take that to heart and believe it. We see very few true holy saints. We see them scattered all over the world. We do see people thinking, pondering, testing, counting the cost. I see all these people I witness to, they're counting the cost. Oh, my wife will kill me. Oh, my kids love that church I can't leave. Oh, I could never leave my worldly job. I need it. They're counting the cost to follow Christ, like the rich man, like the fishermen that dropped their nets. My job is just put it before them. Then it's up to them and the Holy Spirit and God to work all that out between them. So we are so grateful to have these experiences and be able to share them with you. And we are so thankful for the true holy saints, the few that we know that we're united to daily, that we look after and love on them. They love on us. We communicate. We have accountability. We're striving in the faith together, bearing each other's burdens. What glorious, precious treasures these people are to us because they are so few. And we rejoice in the seeds we get to plant in them. They plant seeds in us. They hold our arms up. We hold their arms up, like in Exodus with Moses. And we get to go and spread this truth and this hope to others. And we just trust God that he's doing a work in them, and he gets all the glory. You know, I'm doing this as a praise report. I could have called it a boast report. I'm boasting in Christ Jesus. Yeah, not me. I wouldn't be doing this without him. Without him, what would it mean? I don't make any money. I'm not popular. I'm hated for what I do. And Christ is eternal life. Without him, what do I gain in all this? Nothing. So I'm boasting in Christ in all of this. And so it's glorious to remind people of the biblical gospel, the goodness of God, warn them of the severity and the wrath that's coming if they avoid the biblical gospel and hold on to this life. And always remember this, saints. I'm just giving you some lessons I've learned. Remember, as I give you this praise report and you're joyous, you may not have these kind of successes when you witness. Don't put your hope and trust in these successes. Don't put your solid rock foundation in churchianity or fellowships or family or friends or your best friend who likes to read the Bible with you. Don't put your faith and hope and joy in any of those things. You know what? You put your faith and hope and joy in Jesus Christ, his word, and his spirit. First, foremost, and number one. Then, if you have true holy saints with you that have a testimony and they're biblical and they're holy, and over time you trust them, oh, you can put some trust and hope in having fellowship with them. You don't have hope in them, but you have hope in fellowship, hope in accountability, hope in one anothering. That's a glorious thing. But we've learned this. Keep your eyes on the kingdom of God. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your heart set on the word and the spirit, and you will never, ever, ever lack or be disappointed. The only times I've ever run into great, great trouble in my faith life over these last 15 years I've been born again is when I stop keeping my total focus on Christ, the Word, and the Spirit, and I look to people or my own flesh. that's when I stumble. That's when I get discouraged. That's when Satan comes in. That's right where he wants me. I just did a teaching. He's a roaring lion. He's looking to pick off the weak. When I do that, I'm weak. I'm not looking at the Father or the Son or the Spirit or the Word. I'm weak. And he's there to pick me off. But you know what? Praise God, it doesn't take long. I shrug it off. I rebuke him and say, you know what? You can't have me. I'm Christ. I'm bought with a price by the precious blood of our Savior. And I get up, I get going, I dust myself off, and I strive on, and I leave Satan and his minions in the dust once again. Make sure that you're setting your eyes on the kingdom of God. Most of all, no matter how many praise reports you hear, no matter how many people you think are true Christians, keep your eyes on Christ, the Word, and the Father. Amen? We must be a shining light out in the world. We must be salt. And we must trust in Christ that His Word does not go out void. I hope that this praise report, this boasting of what God is doing in us in our ministry, we can't do it without Him, has edified you. We're still working hard, taking stock of ourselves. We're planning. We're looking forward to hitting the gospel road full time. All this witnessing going on is just a confirmation God's moving us in the right direction. We're making some adjustments for our ministry to make sure that we can sustain. We want to be focused on Him. We want to be sharp in the Word of God. And we want to be walking in the Spirit. So from time to time, I plan, and Sister Debbie does these too, I plan to be doing these praise reports as we go street preaching, fellowshipping, discipling, teaching, exposing, exhorting, traveling. We want to be an encouragement on the way, warning everybody about the wrath of God that's coming, telling everybody about the goodness of the gospel, and telling them get their eyes on Christ, not the churchianity or pagan holidays or their flesh or the culture or politics or all the strife that's in the culture. All the sexual perversion and all of the abortion issues and all that. Yes, that's all wickedness that we sometimes have to battle. But you know what? The battle is the Lord's. And we're here to preach the truth and hold up the torch of Christ to shine the light so people can come to it. The culture is lost. America's lost. The world is lost. It's going to be burned up and judged. Go read 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, 9, and 10 when Christ returns. But you know what the hope is? You know why we're leaving this peaceful place on our homestead to go? There's sheep to be found out there, and they can be saved and not lost. And we want to go and reach them for the glory of God. So keep your eyes on Christ. Let me leave you with Lamentations 3:26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I love that. I want to travel. I want to preach Christ. I want to make disciples long distance. I want to be there to edify, teach, and encourage you. And I want to learn to hope and quietly wait on the salvation of the Lord. I was just talking to a brother about this. What a glorious thing. Quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Hey, I love you all. Thanks for listening. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. Sister Debbie and I are here for you. Check out all of our resources at don'tperish.com. Test yourself to the gospel. Thousands of resources to help you. Look around the blog. Go to the teaching blog. Go to the Unbiblical Teachers blog. Go to the Sisters blog. Witnessing audios. Street preaching videos. Not lifting us up. Lifting up our glorious Savior, King Jesus, till He comes. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, I hope you follow along on our journey. Let us know how we can help you. And may our glorious God be praised.